Well, we are moving right along in the book of Revelation. We looked briefly at chapter 12 last Sunday night. Every once in a while, God gives us information about different people in the Bible. That just to be putting ink on the page. He does that because it's important we understand who they are. Because we are going to interact with them at some point, usually. There's a couple of people. There are seven different people. Some of them we will interact with at some point. Some of them we will not. We need to look at them tonight. And we're not going to actually be able to cover the last two tonight. I will introduce you to them. And then next week we will go into it a little bit more thoroughly. Last week we briefly looked at part of seven personages. This week we're going to look at them in detail. These seven people have a lot to do with the tribulation. And some of them are not confined to the tribulation. The first one that we saw was the woman. Now this chapter covers many centuries in time. How long is the tribulation? 7 years. 7 years. Divided right in the middle. 3.5 weeks. 3.5 weeks. The last 3.5 weeks are called the Great Tribulation. So that the tribulation covers just 7 years. What we're going to read here is going to cover many centuries. Many centuries. This book of Revelation, people, they think that, you know, it's all future. There are some things that do go back and pick up some of the things that have occurred in history. And we'll see some of that tonight. Now, as we got into the book of Revelation, there are four prominent women, and I mentioned this last week. The first one we are going to look at tonight, it'll be the very first thing we look at, and that will be the nation Israel. God always refers to countries as she. When we talk about our own country, you know, she's great. She's a great country to grow up in. And so the first one is going to be Israel. That's going to be the first woman looked at. And the second woman looked at will be Jezebel. We saw her in an earlier chapter when we were looking at the seven churches. And Jezebel is the second woman, and she had walked in the church, she had taught in the church, she had prophesied in the church. And so God rebuked her for being part of the church, for preaching, for teaching. That's not the job of a woman. Now, women can teach women. Women can teach children. They are expected to help raise children. So is the father. But anyway, but a woman is not supposed to be in the pulpit teaching and preaching. Men. She is not to usurp authority over the men. God put her in a place when she committed the first sin. And as a consequence of that sin, women are restricted as to what they can do in the church. And we need to remember that. We don't want to say, oh, we don't want to be liberals. There are churches around this town tonight where there are women preaching. And they're preaching because they're the pastor. And in the qualifications that God gave us for pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the qualifications to be a pastor or a bishop, as it addresses the pastor is that he must be the husband of one wife. And that means that he is not to be divorced. Now, he can remarry if his wife dies, but he is not to be a divorced man. There are men around who have been divorced, and they are still in the pastorate. And God's not going to strike them dead for it. He's using some of them. You know one of them. You would know one of them by name if I named them. So I won't name them. You can ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you. But there's one who's very famous, very, very well known, who has divorced his wife, remarried, and he's still in the pastorate. So the second woman was Jezebel. The third woman we will encounter in chapter 17. As we get on through the book here, in chapter 17, we will meet a woman known as the harlot. The harlot. And so she is the third woman in Revelation. And the fourth woman in Revelation is the bride of Christ. Now, you know who that is? That's us. Okay. So those are the four women. So let's now remember that John is recording this or writing what he is being told to write by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his resurrected, glorified body. So let's go ahead and get into it. Revelation 1, 18 and 19 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is Jesus Christ giving John his marching orders. And John is the writer of this book, and he is writing it according to what Jesus Christ wants him to do. So let's go on. Revelation 12, 1. I was just reading the part where Jesus told John to write what he told him about the past, the present, and the future. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Now, there are many reasons that this is said to be a wonder in heaven. First of all, God chose a man through him to be his people on earth. Who was that? Abraham. Abraham was God's choice to be the father of the Israelite nation. And so Abraham was the head of the Jewish people. They would found a nation called Israel. God would be accomplished, and God would be glorified through this nation. What they did, they had a job to do too. They still have a job to do. They would always be They would not always be faithful to the purposes that God gave them, but they would be the one who would produce the Son of God. He would come through that chosen people. We have to remember, Jews wrote this book. We don't want to be unhappy with the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was not a Gentile. We are Gentiles. We are adopted. We are not part of God's chosen people to begin with. But when we are adopted, when we become a born-again Christian, then we become God's child, and we are adopted into the Jewish family. And so we want to remember that and be kind with the Jews. So the moon, there are several things that are described here. She was clothed with the Son. In other words, she was justified, she was sanctified, and shining by union with Christ. She was the one who brought forth Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. The moon was under her feet. She was superior to the reflected and feebler light of the revelation made by Moses. Moses helped bring some of the law. And the Israelite nation was responsible for that. The 12 stars upon her head would represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, she was Israel. Each star would be a tribe. Now, the 12 original tribes did not all survive. They did not survive up till the time of the tribulation. Two of the tribes had to be substituted. Originally, she bore 12 tribes through Jacob and his four wives. The doctrine of the gospel preached by the 12 apostles is a crown of glory to all true believers. We need to be in the book. Revelation 12:2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, the nation Israel has yet to be delivered. The nation will go through the tribulation. The nation Israel will go through the tribulation, according to the book of Revelation. Only true believers will be delivered from the tribulation described in this book. Only true believers will be relieved. They will not go through the tribulation described in the book of Revelation. The nation was chosen, the nation Israel was chosen by God to be the source of the Savior for the world. When he chose Abraham, he was choosing the people who would bring forth the Savior. Every nation, tongue, and tribe is indebted to Israel for the Messiah and Savior of the sinner. Every nation, every language, every tribe is indebted to the nation Israel for providing the Savior that we all know. Israel struggled to produce a Savior. There was a lot of struggle in the country, in the nation, but he did come forth. There were times when the nation Israel went into captivity. It was actually under Roman domination that the Savior came forth. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it tells us, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, an Israelite woman, made under the law, the Jewish law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." We are adopted. Did you know that you were adopted? Isn't that great? The second personage that we see is Satan. Revelation 12:3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." The dragon is the emblem of Satan. Anytime you see the dragon mentioned in Scripture, it is an emblem of Satan. The dragon is also the emblem of the chief agents, of his chief agents, or those who govern for him on earth. The dragon has a lot of people working for him right now, and they're in a lot of different places on earth, not just in this country. At the time that this was written, the book of Revelation was written, the pagan empire was Rome. They were the conquerors of the world, known world at that time. The city on a hill, the city built upon seven hills, and we will see that referred to in this book as we get a little further deeper into it. Having 10 horns, the nation or the influence of the Roman Empire covered 10 different kingdoms. Having 7 crowns representing 7 forms of government. There have been 7 forms of government under the Roman Empire. Revelation 12:4. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this verse comes. Yeah. The devil wasn't just thrown out of heaven 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. He was thrown out of heaven over 3,000 years ago, closer to 4,000 years. And when he left heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. They became his demons. Now we know, and I mentioned this last week, we know that there are over 100,000 angels. So if a third, let's say that that was one third of the angels, that means that he would have 100,000 demons at his discretion. No wonder we can get into trouble. No wonder we can be so easily influenced. They're everywhere. So, he was waiting to devour the child. He was waiting to get rid of the child as soon as it was born. He knew that God had made promises. God made one of the promises in front of him in Genesis 3:15, when he was talking to Eve and the dragon was present, because God had already condemned him. God told the dragon, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," his demons, "and her seed," the Messiah, the Savior. "It," her seed, "shall bruise thy head," it will destroy him, "and thou shalt bruise his heel." You will only think that you're conquering him. And that's what the dragon, the devil, thought when Christ was being nailed to that cross. He thought he was winning. What a disappointment it must have been for him the third day. Aren't you glad that third day came? Revelation 12:5. And she, Israel, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That covers the period of his life, as well as his death and his resurrection. That's at least 33 years. So you see, this book of Revelation is not just a 7-year period that we're looking at. We're looking at a vast history here. And God wants us to be informed as to what that history is, because that history is important to you as well as to myself. This man-child could be no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He too was prophesied in Old Testament scripture. Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Now, there is only one person who has been prophesied to do so, and that would be Jesus. Someday, for 1,000 years, Jesus is going to reign on this earth. And it's going to be just like the Garden. He's also going to destroy the devil, all of those who have anything to do with the devil, all of those who are evil. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the time we call the Great, God will give Israel a place on the earth to exist, to hide from all that is going on, to be separate from it. This verse is committed to the Great Tribulation and by a time frame, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That is when the devil was originally kicked out of heaven. Time of Job. Thousands of years ago, people. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels, the ones who became demons, were cast out with him. God will preserve his chosen people. He will feed them and watch over them as he deems it necessary. He does the same thing with us every day. Every day. Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, we don't think of heaven as a place where there's war going on. We think of heaven as a very peaceful place. It is now, but it has not always been that way. This verse tells us about war in heaven. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament tells us about a battle in chapter 10 of Daniel, and I would like to share that with you. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Daniel had asked God to help him to understand the vision that he saw, where he looked into the future to the end of time. And so God, because he loved Daniel, because Daniel was his man, God went to answer it. He sent the angel Gabriel. Daniel 10, 12 through 14. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. That's Gabriel talking to him. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, the archangel, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Daniel did not understand that he was looking to the end of time. When you look into a telescope, you are seeing whatever it is trained on. You are not seeing what's going on to the sides, or other than that small focus. They talk about tunnel vision, a person having tunnel vision. They don't have any peripheral vision. They are concentrating on something out in front of them. Wherever their focus is concentrated, that's all they see. And it was sort of like that with Daniel. He looked to the end of time. He did not see the church age in between and all the things that we are seeing and learning about and being a part of. Revelation 12, 10 through 12. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." There was a time when the devil lived in heaven. We don't ever realize that. And he was called the accuser. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9 tells us, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Folks, you and I all are the target of the devil. He is not happy as long as we are serving God. He is not happy as long as we are doing God's will. And he is going to try and deceive us. He's going to try and divert our attention to other things. None of you have ever done this, but lately here I've been working around the house, trying to get things organized or reorganized. And I'll pick up something and I'll go into the room with it and I'll say, "Why am I in here? What am I doing here? I came here for a reason. What was that reason?" Folks, that's the devil. It's not just a birthday, okay? Jimmy and I have problems with birthdays. But the devil, he will distract you when he can. He distracts your driving. If it was not for the Lord, none of us would probably be here. Because there have been times where we have had near misses. We wonder how we got through that. The Lord brought us through. Every day, I pray for safety and health for our church family, asking God to watch over you, asking God to keep his hand upon you. Now, whatever comes into your life is God's will. And unless you go out and just force yourself to be in a place where he doesn't want you to be, or you do something that he doesn't, that the word tells you you shouldn't do, there will be a consequence. And it's not Faye's fault that two people ran into the back end of her, okay? Because I was still praying. Three. Oh, I didn't know about that other one, okay? I pray every day for all of you. God give them health and safety according to thy will. And we should all pray that way. We should all pray for the will of God to be done. And so he's trying to tell Faye something. Or he's trying to get Bobby to fix the brake lights. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, God is in control. No matter what, God is in control. And we are to humble ourselves before him. If Jesus Christ were to walk into this room, all of us would probably come close to breaking our noses as we did face plants in the carpet, okay? Because he is God. And he is to be humbled before. Now, some of these particular verses from Peter deal with us and the present time. We are still subject to the operation of the devil. We are subject to the oppression of the devil. I want you to understand, the devil can oppress you. He can bring things into your life that you do not want to be there, you do not think should be there. But he cannot possess you. There is no room for him in your life or in your soul. Because Jesus Christ has bought you. You are paid for. You belong to Jesus Christ. There is no room for the devil in here. Now, he can oppress you. That means he can make life miserable for you. But he cannot possess you. And if you run into a person you think is possessed of the devil, and they are, there are many of them out there, that person is not a Christian. And you need never make a mistake of trusting them as a Christian. They belong to the devil. You belonged to the devil before you were bought. Before you became a born-again child of God. Before you experienced, before you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, before you accepted him as your personal Savior, you belonged to the devil. He wants you back, but he can't have you. Praise the Lord that he cannot. Revelation 12, 13 and 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth a man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. There will be a day during the tribulation, when the devil will be in charge. God will protect his people, the Jewish remnant. In chapter 7, we saw 12,000 out of each tribe sealed in their forehead. That was 144,000 people. They were not Jehovah's Witnesses. But that's 144,000 witnesses for Jesus Christ that were going to go through the tribulation as Jews. God is going to take care of them. He is not going to let anything happen to them. He did not let anything happen to Mary and Joseph. He did not let Joseph do to Mary what the law called for. Joseph had a tender heart. God is able to touch your heart if you will let him. And he wants to do that. He wants to make you like Jesus. He wants to make you love like Jesus loves. He wants to make you merciful like Jesus is. He wants you to be like Jesus. He will do what he can. And there will be times, and sometimes we don't understand it. We have to make, I know I've had to come back and make an explanation to my wife why I changed my mind. None of you probably had to have that happen for you. But there are times when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. And you've said, oh, I'm going to do it. And he said, don't do that. And you listen to him. At that point, you may have to explain to somebody why you have changed your mind, that God is leading you in a different direction, that you made the decision, you chose to do this thing, but God has told you not to. And at that point, you have to explain sometimes to people that you have told. So we all do it. So the dragon, when he saw that he was cast to earth, he knew he did not have a whole lot of time. 3,000 years, 4,000 years is not a lot of time. Not in the eyes of God. When we start thinking about eternity, eternity is a whole bunch of time. So the Jews will be revered in the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will make a deal with them. He will make an agreement with them that they can build the temple upon the place where the dome of the rock exist right now. They will be able to build their Jewish temple where right now a Muslim mosque stands. That will begin the 7-year tribulation, that agreement that they can rebuild. The Jews are ready to rebuild. You know, it's amazing. They don't read the New Testament. They don't have any faith in the New Testament, yet they know a little bit about what it teaches. They know that the Lord is coming back and that we're going to have a tribulation period because they're told in the Old Testament that they will go through it. And they are prepared to build the temple. I have been told, and I believe those who have told me, that they have seen the stack of materials ready to rebuild the temple. That will last for 3.5 years. And what will cause the break at the middle of the 3.5 years? The Antichrist will go in and call himself God in the temple. He will want to be worshipped like God in the temple. And he will kick the Jews out of the temple. They will not be able to make their sacrifices. They will not be able to worship anymore in that place. That will begin the second half of the great tribulation. So he's going to preserve his people. Part of his people is us. We're going to be taken out of here before the beginning of the tribulation. We are pre-tribulation rapture. Okay. I think our Sunday school teacher expressed that at one time recently, that we believe in pre-tribulation rapture. We're going to be taken out prior to it. That brings us to Revelation 12, 15 and 16. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of her mouth. Interesting verse, but nothing is new in Scripture. Nothing is new day after day. When the Bible mentions a flood, it is talking about a flood of humanity. Why do people hate the Jews so much? Because they belong to the dragon. They belong to the devil. And he is causing them, he is in their heart, he is causing them to hate the Jews. The flood has already been released to protect the Jews. Why is the hatred for the Jew so evident in the world? Because most of the world is under the influence of the devil. Is there any question that God can take care of his children? No, he can. And his chosen people, any question about that? No, there is not. He has taken care of them all along. Does this seem strange that the earth is going to open its mouth and take away the people who are against the Jew? Let me show you something. This is part of history. This is part of the scriptures, the Old Testament. Turn, if you will, and read with me in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16. That's very near the front of the Bible. Numbers chapter 16. Now this happened. It was recorded. It was reported by Moses. And so we will read it together. Numbers 16, beginning at verse 28 through verse 35. Numbers 16, 28 through 35. And Moses said, "Hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth to them, and they go down quick or alive into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth to them, Korah and all their goods. They and all that pertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. You want to mess with God? He has ways. He has ways. He is able, no matter what, he's able to take care. So this all has happened before. Anything new? Let's go now. We've only got a few minutes left, but let's go now to chapter 13. I want to introduce the prominent peoples of chapter 13. They are the last two of the seven personages, and we will look at them briefly. We won't be able to go into detail with them, but we will come back next week and we will look at them in detail. Revelation 13, 1 and 2. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Just briefly, this beast we see rising up out of the sea, he rises up out of the sea of humanity. The Mediterranean Sea, the sea of humanity. He will be a man. But he will have the devil's power given to him. He's called a beast, and he is. He will be a political beast. A political beast. We'll talk more about him next week. There's one more. One more important thing we all take notice of. The dragon gives him his power. The last person is in verse 11. Revelation 13, 11, and 12. And I beheld another beast up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exceedeth all the power of the first beast before him. And watch this, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This last beast, we won't go into his characteristics tonight, next week, will be a religious beast. He will lead the world's religion and will make the world to worship the political beast. I'm going to stop there for tonight. Any questions or comments? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for showing us what you have in mind for a lost world. Father, may that be an incentive for us to tell others about Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that there is no one here tonight who will enter into the tribulation. We know it is not far away, but Father, help us to be faithful to share Jesus Christ with all of those whose names are to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father, for giving us a little glimpse of what is to come as an incentive to motivate us to love those around us. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.